This is Day to Day, a conversation about Al-Qaeda. I'm Alex Chadwick.
I'm Alex Cohen. On Morning Edition today, Steve Inskeep spoke with President Bush's media advisor and friend, Karen Hughes. She's leaving her State Department job promoting this country to the world. Karen Hughes acknowledged the standing of the U.S. has slipped, but she said the terrorist leadership of Al-Qaeda is even more reviled.
She is missing the point. That's what journalist Peter Bergen argues in The New Republic magazine. He writes frequently about terrorism. Last year, he published the book, The Osama Bin Laden I Know, based on interviews he conducted with the Al-Qaeda founder a decade ago. We spoke earlier about this new article titled War of Error. Peter Bergen, the subtitle of your article in The New Republic is How Osama Bin Laden Beat George Bush. Defend that.
If we had this conversation in 2002, I think it would be safe to say that Al-Qaeda, by its own account, was on the run. Most of its leaders were captured or killed. Some of the documents we picked up in Afghanistan after the fall of the Taliban were quite critical of Bin Laden's decision to do the 9/11 attacks because they basically, you know, led to the fall of the Taliban, the destruction of their safe haven in Afghanistan, and basically the organization, you know, taking a huge hit. Now, of course, 5 years later, the situation looks very different, where Al-Qaeda is resurgent on the Afghan-Pakistan border, has conducted significant terrorist attacks in places like London, has exerted a great deal of influence strategically about what's going on in Iraq, getting the United Nations to pull out, getting much of the international community to pull out because of suicide attacks, and then, of course, sparking the civil war and amplifying it with the attack on the Golden Mosque in Samarra in 2006. Osama bin Laden is still out there influencing the jihadi networks around the world with his videotapes and audio tapes. Ayman al-Zawahiri, Al-Qaeda's number two, is still out there. GSPC, which is the largest Algerian terrorist group, last year announced it's now part of Al-Qaeda. People don't join groups that they think are going out of business. And the influence of Al-Qaeda on the Taliban, both tactically and ideologically, is playing out in the rising levels of violence we're seeing in Afghanistan.
But really, how important a figure is Osama bin Laden in all this? I mean, he's still living in a cave. He's unable to communicate, really, except through these videotapes that are smuggled out that you mentioned. I mean, what kind of leadership is that? And these groups that you mentioned, they're associated with the goals of Al-Qaeda, but to what degree are they really Al-Qaeda, bin Laden's Al-Qaeda?
Well, it doesn't really matter if they're bin Laden's Al-Qaeda or their own Al-Qaeda. I mean, the point is that they've signed on to bin Laden's sort of analysis of all this, which is that we want to get the United States out of the Middle East and every Muslim country, and we want to attack Western allies, the United States, and America itself, if possible. And whether you're Al-Qaeda Central or Al-Qaeda in Iraq, you know, when the bombs go off, it doesn't really matter. Al-Qaeda in Iraq says it's part of Al-Qaeda, but obviously is doing its own thing in Iraq. It's killed 10,000 civilians there in the last several years, conducted 80 to 90% of the 800 suicide attacks in Iraq, which is the largest campaign of suicide attacks in history. As to the question of whether bin Laden's in charge or not, this is to ignore the global communications revolution. Through the mediums of these videotapes and audio tapes, he reaches literally hundreds of millions of people. If you think about it, these videotapes and audio tapes, when they come out, are some of the most widely distributed political statements in history. And they not only have sort of a standard kind of message, which is kill Westerners, Jews, Americans, but also they sometimes have specific instructions. Bin Laden, for instance, and both bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri have in the last couple of months specifically called for attacks in Pakistan. And bin Laden has called for attacks on Saudi oil facilities. We had an attack on arguably the most important oil facility in the world last year. Luckily, it didn't work, but if it had, that's 10% of the world's oil supply offline. And I can give you many other examples, but I won't detain you with those because I'm sure there are other more important things to discuss.
This is the essential point you make in your piece. The U.S. failed in Afghanistan, failed to carry through the fight to get bin Laden and indeed fully drive out the Taliban. And that, you say, is because the Bush administration was too distracted too quickly by Iraq.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt this is an inarguable point. Afghanistan was the most poorly funded post-war reconstruction effort the United States has taken on since World War II. It was also the most undermanned. There were only 6,000 American troops in Afghanistan for the first 2 years of the American-led occupation of the country. Afghanistan is 1.5 times the size of Iraq. It's got a much larger population, and topographically, it's a lot more complicated. So 6,000 boots on the ground wasn't going to cut it. And then, of course, there was a massive shift of resources and attention to Iraq, not only satellite time and predators that are capable of firing missiles, but also, presidential attention. But it's not sort of simply the Afghan dimension of the story, which I think is important, is that for one reason or another, Al-Qaeda was able to regroup in Pakistan, and the Taliban was able to regroup in Pakistan, and despite the fact that we spent almost $11 billion funding the Pakistani military and helping President Musharraf in an effort to help in the war on terrorism, over time, the dividends have been less and less and less. Initially, there were quite a lot of Al-Qaeda leaders who were arrested in Pakistan. Now, in the last couple of years, I can't think of anybody significant who's been arrested, and the Taliban leadership remains ensconced in Pakistan, and the Pakistani government is either unwilling or incapable or both of doing anything about it.
A supporter of the Bush administration still might read this article and say, okay, things have not gone our way entirely, but to say that Osama bin Laden has beaten Mr. Bush, has beaten the Bush administration, do you think it's fair to say that Al-Qaeda might consider itself victorious in some way?
Certainly they're very happy about Iraq because, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq until we invaded the place, and Al-Qaeda in Iraq has had a huge strategic impact on the war there. Jihadist terrorist attacks around the world went up sevenfold following the invasion of Iraq, both in Iraq, in Afghanistan, around the Arab world, and to some degree in Europe. So, the amplification of the temperature in the Muslim world by the invasion of Iraq has helped Al-Qaeda, has helped radicalization, has helped recruitment. And, bin Laden's very happy about that. Now, the question is, has he beaten Bush? It's sort of classic insurgency doctrine that if you don't win against the insurgents, if they're not losing, they're winning. And that's kind of where they are right now. They're certainly not losing in Afghanistan. 2007 has been the worst year for civilian deaths in Afghanistan since the fall of the Taliban, with something more than 5,000 people dead in political violence there. They're certainly not losing in Pakistan, which is seeing more jihadist terrorist violence in the last several years, just in the last several months, not least the attack on Benazir Bhutto that killed 140 people. And in Iraq, yes, the violence has subsided slightly, the suicide attacks are down slightly, but they're only down to the levels of 2006. The levels of violence in 2006 were twice or three times the levels of violence in Iraq that in 2003 and 2004. So in Iraq, it's sort of like the frog in boiling water that's that's slowly boiling. We've turned the water down a few degrees, but it's still simmering pretty nicely in Iraq.
Peter Bergen, thank you for speaking with us on Day to Day.
Thank you.
Peter Bergen's article, War of Error, How Osama Bin Laden Beat George W. Bush, appears in the October 22nd issue of The New Republic magazine.